scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on pages 1374 and 1375 in your pew Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all God's people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Who are the Magi? Well, sometimes we call them wise men in the church, and the church has named them in song like, "We three kings of Orient are." But it's not really accurate because the Bible doesn't call them kings. They're astrologers who studied the stars. And as for there being three of them, the Bible doesn't say that either. It just says that there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we project that there were three wise men or three magi. Tradition has them arriving on Christmas night, but the text says nothing about the manger. Instead, it mentions a house. It talks about a house in Bethlehem where they find the child and the mother Mary. So perhaps Jesus was much older, perhaps a year or two. But let's not get bogged down in the details. These magi clearly demonstrated spiritual leadership. They were role models for the early church, and they also function as role models for you and me today. They were travelers on a spiritual journey, moving intentionally through space and time. We'll explore that today as they go onward and upward, downward and outward. First, onward. The Magi traveled onward on their journey with determination. I think of them as very determined individuals. They would not give up easily. In fact, they had perseverance, they had determination, they had ambition. They followed the star all the way to Jerusalem, and it was quite a long journey for sure. In the days before planes, trains, and automobiles, they covered 600 miles over very rugged terrain, across hills and valleys, across deserts, canyons, and fording streams and rivers. Most Bible scholars believe they came all the way from the land of the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. What was known as Babylon back then is known as Iraq today. The Babylonian astrologers studied the stars and looked to see connections between events in the heavens and events on earth. Seeing the bright star rising alerted them, and they took decisive action. They gathered up supplies, they crafted a plan, and they organized a caravan. Then they began to travel across many miles and over that difficult terrain. But they wouldn't be deterred, and they couldn't be stopped, since they were absolutely determined to reach their goal. We continue to observe them and admire them today. Even after 2,000 years have passed by, we see their determination, and it brings to mind the resilience of a little church on Long Pond Road. Indeed, Lakeview has overcome obstacles during its 7 decades of its existence. With God's help, our church has persisted, worshiping regularly and serving our community. The Magi show us how leaders lead. They travel onward with determination. Leaders also look upward for guidance. The Magi had eyes to see and ears to hear God's guidance. The Magi first looked up to see the stars. The stars are the handiwork of God, the creation of the Creator. When the Star of Bethlehem began to rise, they took notice. God was communicating something to them. The bright, shining star signified the birth of a very important ruler. The star led them all the way to Jerusalem, not far from Jesus' birthplace, but they were only in the ballpark. It was here in Jerusalem that they consulted the authorities. They went straight to the palace of King Herod. "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After calling forward the chief priests and teachers of the law, they consulted the scripture. They looked in the book for information, and they scoured the scriptures until they found the prophet Micah. And they went to Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 4, and here's what they read in God's Bible. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Yes, that's right. We know all about it, don't we? Bethlehem was the town where Jesus was to be born. And we celebrate it in the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." That reminds us of the correct location in which Jesus was to be born. What can we learn from this? We too look upward to God for guidance. We too look to creation for general revelation about God, and we listen to God's word for more specific, special revelation from God. What's the difference, you may ask, between general revelation through creation and special revelation through God's word? In creation, we can see things about God and we can learn a thing or two. But in God's Bible, the Holy Word, we can learn more exact information and more specifics that illuminate our minds to God's plan of salvation. As the Belgic Confession informs, we know God by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are like letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, his eternal power, and his divinity. Second, he makes himself known to us more openly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life for his glory and the salvation of his own. So what do we learn from the wise men? These 3 or 4 or 5, however many there were, astrologers that came from the eastern countries. Well, they were not just on a physical journey, but they were on a spiritual journey too. They looked upward to God for guidance. That's how leaders lead today. They look to God for guidance, observing his beauty in creation and listening careful for wisdom in his book. Wisdom is one character trait of the Magi, but where did their wisdom originate? Dale Bruner, in his masterpiece on Matthew, has this gold nugget. We can indeed call the Magi wise men, for that is what they become by following the gracious star. Did you hear that? They weren't wise when they started out from their home country, but they became wise on the journey. Following the star, they gained wisdom until they found the babe in Bethlehem and then received wisdom from God. They became wise by following the gracious star. And when they finally arrived in Bethlehem, just 5, maybe 6 miles from Jerusalem, they came to the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Their arrival is pictured outward. I took this picture yesterday. You can tell by the snow. I thought there would be more, but you know, that's what we got, right? And so I took this picture by the creche outside. And as you can see, as you go from right to left, you got the camel, and then you got a wise man that's standing up, and another one that's bowing his head, and another one that's kneeling down, until finally we go past the animals to the Christ child. And that's good, but it's not quite what the text indicates, because it indicates that when they fell down, they hit the ground. They kissed the soil at Jesus' feet. And what they were saying is, we'll go lower because you are exalted higher. They were saying, we're humble servants of you, O King. And even though it was just a child, perhaps a toddler of 1 or 2 years old, they recognize that this child was destined to be the King of Kings. And so the wise men went lower, lower, and lower in humility until they bowed down to the ground and worshiped Jesus. That's what worship really is, acknowledging the greatness of Christ, our King. Even though the Holy Child speaks no words in this passage, perhaps he hadn't learned to speak yet, or he was just awestruck by the appearance of these strangers from a distant land, there are many words here given to him. Jesus, which means the Lord saves. The King of the Jews. The Messiah, or Christ, which means anointed one, anointed to be king. The ruler, the shepherd of his people. Certainly he was worthy of all their worship. So in humility, the wise men bowed down to the child Jesus before they offered him incredibly generous and lavish gifts, presenting to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh from their treasure chests. I found a treasure, a gift, while watching a sitcom on Friday night. Have you ever had that where you turn on the TV and you were looking for like a laugh or two and you found something that was really, really good? Have you ever heard the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond? I was watching a rerun of that show, and it was called The Prodigal Son, that episode. And in that episode, everybody's getting ready for church. They're all dressed up in their Sunday best. They got suit and tie on, dresses, the whole nine yards. The kids, the mom, the dad, the brother, the wife, everybody but Raymond. Raymond is wearing his pajamas because he says he's got to watch the football game because it's on not until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What a lame excuse. But he's a sports writer and that's his job, and so he takes his job seriously. And when everybody goes to church, he stays home in his pajamas. Eventually, Ray felt guilty, so he talked to his wife about this a little bit, Deborah. Feeling guilty, Ray asks Deborah, "Why do you go to church, Miss Holy Moly?" She says, "Why do I go?" And he says, "Yeah, I want to know." She says, "I go to thank God for you and the kids and to pray for the strength to get through another week with you and the kids." No, really, why do you go? So she continues, "I go to get re-energized, to be part of something that's bigger than me and my little problems. It reminds me that I'm not the be-all and end-all, and that there's something out there that's greater than me." And then Ray replies, "Why do you have to have the answer for everything?" She did have the answers. There is something out there, namely God, that is greater than me. When we worship, Whether it's here on Sunday morning or somewhere else during the week, we acknowledge that God is greater. He's greater than you. He's greater than me. He's greater than all of us put together. He's worthy of all our worship. That's what Deborah taught us on Everybody Loves Raymond. And that's what the Magi in this Bible passage teach us too. Humbly, they journeyed downward, and so do we. Finally, the Magi traveled outward with joy. They may have wanted to remain in Bethlehem, escort Jesus and his family to Egypt, and eventually find their way to Nazareth in Galilee, where Jesus would grow up. But they resisted. They did not remain with Jesus. They had places to go and people to see. Verse 12 informs us, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, false King Herod was a threat to the true King, Jesus. That's why God provided a warning for the wise men about the cruel tyrant on the throne, King Herod. Avoiding that obstacle, they headed home. And when they headed home, I'm sure they had a lot of stories to tell about the places they visited, about the people they encountered on this 1,200-mile journey, round trip. But more than that, I wonder if they told people how they felt. I wonder if they told people how they felt when they eventually found who they were looking for, when they found Jesus. The text says that they were overjoyed. I wonder if they told people when they got back, I've never seen that much joy in my whole life. I've never felt that much joy as when I came face to face with this little baby, Jesus, who would be the king of the world. The text reads something like this in the original Greek. It has more of an emphasis than overjoyed. It has more weight. It reads something like this. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. What is translated overjoyed in our English uses four words in the original Greek. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That's what I call mega joy. The Magi had mega joy, not just joy. In fact, there's no greater joy than when you encounter Jesus. Amen? They emptied their treasure chests of massive amounts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, providing lavish gifts for the child king. But what they took away was far more valuable. What they carried home was a priceless treasure, joy to the world, joy for the world, the joy of Jesus. And as we journey outward from this place of worship, we don't leave joy in these pews. We take it with us. We carry joy with us on our spiritual journey. That's another characteristic demonstrated by the wise men. Joy, great joy. We don't just want to tell people the details of what our church experience was like. We sang this song. We sang that song. We ate cake, we drank coffee. No, how did it make you feel? Going, I never felt such peace. I never felt such joy. I felt loved by God. When I heard that I was forgiven, I felt like as light as a feather. All my weight was just gone from me. I felt that. That's what I experienced. I felt joy, great joy. How can you measure that? How can you put a price tag on that? Having experienced his presence, we depart with joy. In conclusion, let's reflect on who we are. No matter what, all of us are called by God to be spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders are on a spiritual journey onward and upward, downward and outward. And today the Magi have served as our role models. But we have other role models too. Role models that show determination, receive God's guidance, demonstrate humility, and overflow with joy when they encounter Jesus. May each one of us exhibit those same characteristics by the power of the Spirit who lives within us and also among us. Soon we'll invite Rose, Patty, and Mark forward for ordination and installation. And as elders and deacon, they will become office bearers in a position of spiritual leadership. May God equip all three of them to be our modern day role models. The liturgy we will soon read contains a question that speaks to that very same point. It says this: will you pray for God's people and lead them by your own example? In faithful service and holy living. Did you hear that? Lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living. God calls them to be role models for us in their spiritual leadership. But they can't move an inch forward without God's help. So their answer must be, I will, God helping me. Did you hear that? Their answer must be, I will, God helping me. May God's Spirit equip them, energize them, and enable them to become spiritual leaders for the glory of God and for the sake of His church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.